Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, answers by citing the Lord's version, text 41 and 42. 41 has no purport, so I'm going to read it myself, and then we'll chant together text 42. So, text 41. Tam Narada Priyatamo Rikta-danam anuvrataha sushrushamana shilena prashrayena damena cha. Translation. Narada, the most dear of the inheritor sons of Brahma, always ready to serve his father, strictly follows the instructions of his father by his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. So text 42. Mayam vividishan Vishnor Maheshasya Mahamunihi Maha Bhagavato Rajan Pitaram Paryatoshayat Maya Vividishan Vishnor Mayeshasya Mahamunihi Mahabhagavato Rajan Pitaram Paryatoshayat Mayam Vividishan Vishnor Mayeshasya Mahamunihi Mahabhagavato Rajan Pitaram Paryatoshayat Mayam Vividishan Vishnor Mayeshasya Mahamunihi Mahabhagavato Rajan Pitaram Paryatoshayat Mayam Vidishan Vishnor Mayasasya Mahamuni Mahabhagavato Rajan Pitaram Paryatoshayat Mayam Vidishan Vishnor Vaisya Samamani Mahabhagavato Rajan Mayam Vitoshaya Mayam Vidishan Vishnor Mayeshasya Mahamuni Amidam Vishnor Mayeshasya Mahamuni Mahabhagavato Rajan Mayeshasya Mahamuni Mahabhagavato Rajan Jaram Paryatoshaya Vaishnavis Mayam Vidishan Vishnor Mayam energies, vividishan, desiring to know Vishnu of the personality of Godhead. Maya ishasya, of the master of all energies. Mahamunihi, the great sage. Mahabhagavataha, the first class devotee of the Lord. Rajan, O King, Pitaram, unto his father. Paryatoshayat, very much pleased. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Narada, very much pleased his father and desired to know all about the energies of Vishnu, the master of all energies. For Narada was the greatest of all sages and the greatest of all devotees, O King. Purport. Lord Brahma, being the creator of all living beings in the universe, is originally the father of several well-known sons, like Daksha, the Chatusanas, and Narada. In three departments of human knowledge disseminated by the Vedas, namely fruitive work, karmakanda, transcendental knowledge, jnanakanda, and devotional service, upasana kanda, Devarshi Narada inherited from his father Brahma devotional service, whereas Daksha inherited from his father fruitive work, and Sanaka, Sanatan, etc., inherited from their father information about Jnana Kanda, or transcendental knowledge. But out of them all, Narada is described here as the most beloved son of Brahma because of good behavior, obedience, meekness, and readiness to render service unto the Father. And Narada is famous as the greatest of all sages because of his being the greatest of all devotees. Narada is the spiritual master of many famous devotees of the Lord. He is the spiritual master of Prahlad, Dhruva, and Vyas, down to the forest animal hunter Kirata. His only business is to turn everyone to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, all these features of Narada make him the dearmost son of his father, and all this is due to Narada's being a first-class devotee of the Lord. The devotees are always anxious to know more and more about the Supreme Lord, the master of all energies, as he confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 10.9, Machchita Madgata Prana Bodhayanta parasparam, katayantascha mam nityam, tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. The Supreme Lord is unlimited, and his energies are also unlimited. No one can know them completely. Brahmaji, being the greatest living entity within this universe and being directly instructed by the Lord, must know more than anyone else within this universe, although such knowledge may not be complete. This is the duty of everyone to ask about the unlimited Lord from the spiritual master in the disciplic succession of Brahma, which descends from Narada to Vyas, from Vyas to Shukadeva, and so on. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So, in the early days in the 1960s, Srila Prabhupada went to San Francisco to open his second center with the devotees there, many of whom were very much involved in the counterculture or the hippie movement. And, you know, they sometimes did some very interesting things with Srila Prabhupada. Like one day they decided they wanted to take Srila Prabhupada at night to the beach and have a little kirtan party there with him. So he agreed to go. So the devotees made a bonfire on the beach. They brought potatoes, wrapped them in tin foil, put them in the fire to bake, along with apples stuffed with brown sugar and raisins for dessert. So they put them in the fire to roast. And then they had kirtan. You know, they made a circle around Srila Prabhupada and they danced and they chanted Hare Krishna. And then Hayagriva and a devotee named Haridas said they had a song to play for Srila Prabhupada. So they played their song for Srila Prabhupada, and it went like this. Do you know who was the first eternal spaceman in the universe? The first to send his wild, wild vibrations to all the cosmic superstations. For the song that he always shouted was sending the planets flipping out. Now, before you think I'm loony, I'm going to tell you I'm talking about Narada Muni, who's always singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada said he liked the song very much and he hoped they would write others like that. So this Narada Muni has always been associated with the Krishna consciousness movement all down through its history. And you know, he wasn't always in the position of being such a saintly person. You know, his qualities here are mentioned, you know, that he was very meek and humble. You know, he was, you know, the greatest of all all sages because of these qualities. He strictly followed his father's instructions. So in a previous lifetime, that was actually in another kalpa or day of Brahma, a long, long time ago, he was a Gandharva. So a Gandharva is an entity that lives in higher material planets. They're very well known for being good singers. Like the Apsaras, they're known to be dancers, but the Gandharvas are known for their singing. So, as I said, this was in a previous kalpa, a previous day of Brahma. And each day of Brahma, a complete day, lasts for 8,640,000,000 years. It's a long time. The day of Brahma lasts 4,320,000,000 years. Then there's a night of Brahma that lasts 4,320,000,000 years. We're now about in the middle of our current kalpa or day of Brahma. So it began about a little over 2 billion years ago. So then 4.32 billion years before that, that was the previous kalpa or the day of Brahma, in which Narada Muni was a Gandharva named Upabarahana. And one day, the Prajapatis, the generators of population, decided they wanted to have a Sankirtan festival, chanting the holy names of the Lord. So they invited Narada Muni to come. So he came with, he was a very attractive personality, very well dressed, very well decorated, accessorized. And the Bhagavatam said he was very pleasing, very attractive to the women in the heavenly planets. So he came with some of his Apsara girlfriends to the festival, and he started chanting not Hari Nam, the names of Lord Hari, Lord Krishna, but he started chanting prayers and songs in praise of the demigods. So he was cursed by the Prajapatis to become a Sudra on this planet, on this earth planet. So if you're going to behave like that, that this is not the suitable place for it. And its purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that he was like a playboy. And playboy means freely associating with the opposite sex. Be playboy, playgirl, whatever it is. So he's freely associating. And that, Srila Prabhupada said, is characteristic of the Sudra class. And he mentions that for the higher castes, the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas even, there's, in strict Vedic society, no such opportunity. So sometimes for that purpose, in Vedic society, people would associate with the Sudras, because among them there is opportunity for such things. So he was cursed, and he took birth on earth as the son, the child of a maidservant. So maidservant means Sudrani, a female member of the Sudra class. Now in Daivavarnashrama, there's no real distinction. Anyone can become a devotee, the topmost position. It doesn't make any difference if one is, as Lord Chaitanya said about himself, you know, I'm not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, a Vaishya, a Sudra. I'm not a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, grihastha, or a brahmachari, gopi bharta padakamali, or a das, das, anudas. I'm just a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the gopis, Krishna. So, you know, it's stated, kiva vipra kiva nyasi sudra kenanai ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hai. Doesn't matter if one is, you know, a sudra or a sannyasi. Whoever knows Krishna, whoever loves Krishna, that person is guru. So the Krishna consciousness movement was established on that principle. And so that, but in terms of ordinary varnashrama, the sudra class is considered to be low class. So he was born, he took birth as the son of a sudrani. And, you know, she was doing service in a guest house. And there's a system, like now we're in the middle of Chaturmasya, the four months of the rainy season. We're coming out of it now. And during, you know, it's customary in Vedic times that during the rainy season, the sannyasis, the Bhagavats, the traveling preachers would stop their traveling during the rainy season and they'd remain in one place. So some Bhaktivedantas, some great devotees of the Lord who were traveling, they stopped in this house for the 4 months of the rainy season. And this Narada Muni's mother was taking care of the needs of these great devotees. So as a little child, 5 years old or less, Narada Muni got the chance to associate with these great devotees of the Lord during the 4 months of the rainy season. And he heard from them the transcendental sound vibration. And being kind and merciful to the child, the Bhagavats, the great devotees, they allowed the child to take some of their remnants from as Mahaprasad. And in this way, Narada Muni developed, of course that wasn't his name then, but he developed some attraction to transcendental knowledge and devotional service. So when the sages left and went on their way, one night, Narada Muni's mother was bitten by a poisonous serpent and died. So he was left all alone. And he decided to leave. And he began walking through the towns and villages, going up into the mountains. Think the Himalayas. So he went, and as he went, gradually He was passing by the orchards and the villages and the mines and the shops and the working places where things are made. And in his purports to that, Srila Prabhupada makes an interesting statement. Because he was passing, as the Bhagavatam says, through mines and workshops and pastures, and Srila Prabhupada said, it can be seen that these industrial activities and economic development, everything has been present for millions and millions and millions of years, going all the way back to even a previous creation, a previous day of Brahma. So it's passages like that that have inspired me in some of the service that I do, which has to do with showing, well, that's really possible. It's not just mythology. But in any case, you know how it goes when you're leaving a city, you go through the suburbs, if you're going to the mountains up there, and gradually everything, becomes more natural. You enter forests and things. So Narada Muni went up and he began to meditate. And when he began to meditate on the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord appeared to him. But then, very quickly, he disappeared. And Narada Muni became very much in the mood of separation. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, okay, I'm only going to appear to you this one time, and that's to increase your attraction to me, increase your feelings of devotion to me. So he accepted that, and he continued his practice of meditation, his bhajan, and eventually he achieved the goal of liberation from material existence. It stated that it just happened sort of immediately, just like the Bhagavatam says, like light accompanies lightning. Lightning strikes, light is immediately there. So he became illuminated like that. He became the son of Lord Brahma and became Narada Muni in this kalpa or day of Brahma. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport mentions the important position of Lord Brahma. He says, Lord Brahma, being the creator of all living beings in this universe, is originally the father of several well-known sons, like Daksha, other great sages, the mental sons of Lord Brahma. So, in one sense, we're all sons of Lord Brahma, because he's the first jiva, soul in this universe, and from him, everyone else is descended. In India, they have the concept of gotra, which means if you trace your ancestors back in time. Of course, according to modern science, if you trace your ancestors back in time, eventually you come to some ape man, like Neanderthal or Homo erectus or something like that. But according to the Vedic understanding, if you trace your ancestors back, to your grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, eventually you'll come to a great sage like Gautam or Atri, someone. So that's your gotra. that's your line in physical ascent. And they, and any of those great sages would be a son of Lord Brahma. So Brahma is the great, 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 great grandfather of all of us. And we're related to Brahma in another sense also, that if we trace back our disciplic line, you know, like the spiritual masters considered to be the father, the Vedas are like the mother. If we trace back our spiritual lineage from Srila Prabhupada to Bhaktisiddhanta to, you know, so on and so forth, back, 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 eventually you'll come to Brahma, because we're in the Brahma Gaudiya Sampradaya. If you're a Sri Vaishnava, when you trace your spiritual ancestry back, it'll go to the goddess of fortune, Sri. If you're part of the Kumara Sampradaya, you'll trace it back to the four Kumaras. If you're part of the Rudra Sampradaya, you'll trace it back to Lord Shiva. But if they're not in the Brahma Sampradaya, then the four Kumaras, Shiva also comes from Brahma in this universe or in any universe, although he has his own position, he's Shiva Tattva, but still he manifests from Brahma. So, and then as can be seen in the ninth canto, Srila Prabhupada mentions that our first birth in a material universe is as a Brahma in some universe. There are unlimited material universes. There are millions and millions of them. They're constantly being created and destroyed. So according to Srila Prabhupada's ninth canto purports, we originally take birth as a Brahma and then work ourselves down from there by misuse of our free will. So that so through reincarnation and rebirth, we can trace our ancestry back to Brahma. So Narada Muni is called here the best son of Brahma. And, you know, he was, as mentioned in the purport, the guru of many great personalities, including a Kirata, a hunter of animals who half killed his prey. And Narada Muni converted him into a great Vaishnava. So in a similar way, Srila Prabhupada came to the forest of the United States, the jungle of the United States, and converted some of us aborigines, leches, lower than sudras, into Vaishnavas, in the spirit of Narada Muni, who was constantly traveling and spreading the glories of the Lord and the sound of his holy name, playing on his veena. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
First, thank you very much for a very illuminating class on the ancestry of the human race, with a special reference to Narada Muni and Lord Brahma. My question is this. is that you had just mentioned just a few moments ago that Brahma was in a very high position and he gradually fell down, 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 down until finally he became just an ordinary human being. So my question is this. Well, when Brahma was in his high position, as far as I remember, he was given many enlightening and advancing... He's given very many enlightening and advancing knowledge from Lord Vishnu. And the question that I ask is, if he had all that knowledge and he was in that high position, why would he fall down knowing full well the consequences of such a fall? So maybe you can elucidate on that point.
Well, his... Are you speaking about his position as a Gandharva? A Gandharva.
Said that Brahma, he was in a very high position, in which he received direct guidance and direction from Krishna, from Vishnu, but then he fell down to a lower and lower and lower position, you had mentioned. So my question is, why would he fall down when he was given such enlightening knowledge, such advice, guidance, and so forth, as to what not to do in order to remain in that lofty position?
Well, I was understanding that, and I can be corrected if I'm wrong, but that initially, you know, in the sequence of events, he was a Gandharva.
Brahma wasn't a Gandharva. We're not talking about Narada, we're talking about Brahma now.
Oh, he fell down.
Yeah, Brahma fell to a lower and lower position. So he wasn't a very high position, and he was given guidance and knowledge and understanding
by Lord Vishnu as to how
okay,
to...
I understand the question now. Okay, I thought you were talking about Narada. Yeah, okay, that's my misunderstanding, which comes from inattentive hearing. Srila Prabhupada says that such misunderstanding comes from inattentive hearing. So I was taking responsibility for my inattentive hearing and misunderstanding. So, well, Srila Prabhupada explains that misuse of free will is possible even for a soul that, you know, a jiva soul that takes the position of Brahma. So misuse of free will is always there. You know, so if Brahma is a post, it can be occupied by different personalities. And generally, a soul that occupies a very high post is usually going to use its free will properly. But like we see even around us, you know, President of the United States is a very high position. But the person who occupies that post can either live up to the expectations of a person that's that live up to what's expected of a person who occupies such a high post, or, as we've seen down through history, sometimes the person who occupies the high post with all of its advantages and powers misuses it and is removed from the post. So sometimes that can happen, either by, you know, like in Vedic times, the position of king or emperor was a very high position, and one was expected to be a Rajarshi. a Raja, a king, and also a Rishi following the religious principles. But sometimes the personalities who occupy those posts, they misuse their free will and they're removed from the post, as happened with King Venu, for example. The Brahmins removed him from his post. So even if one is, generally it's said that because if a person is very, very pious, if a soul acts, you know, for I think it's 100 births or something, they may get, you know, the post of Brahma, or it may be their first post. You know, they start from the top, and they, by misuse of their free will, they can go down. That, anybody else have any insights on this question? Okay.
Well, what you just mentioned, that we misused our free will. And if Lord Brahma could misuse his free will with all the knowledge that he had received from Lord Vishnu, what to speak of us? So therefore, we have to really be on our toes, so to speak, and we have to be very watchful and very thoughtful and never think that because I know so much that I cannot fall. If Brahma was such a person, and as you just mentioned, he did fall. And I would just add one other point. The pleasure principle is in all of us, and the temptation is always there. So you can either accept it and get involved in some temptation, or you can reject it based upon the discrimination and discretion that is given by the Supreme Lord. So it is up to us to always be on our guard to do the thing that we have been taught to do most, to reject, to detach, to stay away from those things which are going to bring us down rather than up.
Yes, unfortunately, there's also the association of devotees who, if we can't recognize it ourselves, they may help us, as they've helped me many times in my life in Krishna consciousness. Naikat Mahaprabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Just to elaborate or comment on your answer to Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada also points out that every Brahma is not a pure devotee. So those who are pure, they're advanced to a Vaikuntha, but those who are not, they struggle and they may go down. So it's not that Lord Brahma is necessarily a pure devotee.
Yeah. And sometimes the Lord takes the position of Brahma when there's no suitable person available for the post. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.